11 minutes after 4 Central African time. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Friday morning. Mubarak Friday morning on our program, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. The 7th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1443. We welcome our beloved senior respected the Honorable Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, welcome to the program this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakumullahu khayran to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 7th of Rabi'ul Akhir, this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, Friday. Alhamdulillah, we focus on chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse 67. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks to us about human nature. Me and you, Muslim, non-Muslim, what do we do? So Almighty Allah states, وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الدُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ. And when it afflicts you, some distress, some calamity, some catastrophe, fil bahri, whilst you are in the ocean, in the river, in the dam, now you fear there's something wrong with the boat, the weather has changed, and suddenly there's great fear of drowning. So when people know that death is imminent, death is now hovering above their head and surrounding them from all sides, what do they do? ضَلَّ مَن تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. So whoever they used to call is gone lost, meaning that left them and they're gone. إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. So they turn to him alone. You see the non-Muslim, the plane is about to crash, they will say, God, God, and so forth. When that ship is about to sink, then they will remember God. They will remember the one and only Supreme Being. All their idols, all their deities, all their semi-gods, demigods, all that they will forget and they will neglect and will be lost to them. That's the meaning of Dwalla. So it shows how come you, human being, at the time when you know there's no one else to save you but only God, that's the time you worship God. But when a time comes of prosperity, then you forget God, selective amnesia, and then you go and worship your idols, you worship somebody else with God, Jesus, and say he's the Son of God. You go and worship somebody else, something else. So how short-sighted is this human being? Hence all my Allah states, فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. Hence, after that, subsequently, then, when he saves you, he rescues you, Almighty Allah, the plane landed safely, 12th of March, 1974. We were flying from first time in my life, I'm going to overseas, so to go and study. So in Malawi, we're going from there to Nairobi, and we were there over Lake Malawi and over. So the plane Air Malawi, they told us something wrong and they're not even sure what is wrong. So we read our kalima, everything, but Allah's fadl, Allah's grace, Allah's mercy comes, and then the plane somehow, some way managed, and they brought us back to the airport Blantyre. So it shows that this human being, when Allah saves you, rescues you, you're supposed to thank Almighty Allah more, our children the more 40 brothers, Allah brought them safe and sound. So now you must thank Allah more and more, O family. So every one of us goes through the vicissitudes, the challenges of life, and now at a time of prosperity, conveniently Muslim and non-Muslim, majority of us, we forget Almighty Allah. But when there's sickness, when there's death, when there are problems, accidents and so forth, hijacking, then we return to Allah. That is not what Islam is teaching us. We must worship Allah and we must make shukr to Allah. Be grateful to Almighty Allah for all His bounties. And at a time of difficulty, we exercise sabr, patience and endurance. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. Hence, when He, Almighty Allah, rescues you to the land, Barr, so remember that is the land and the sand. Now He rescued you. So what does this human being do? أَعْرَضْتُمْ. You turn away. You forget your mun'im haqiqi. You forget your greatest benefactor. You forget God, capital G. And we go back to our satanic ways. We go back to the idols. We go back to Jesus. We go back to this one and that one. So we start worshipping them, Allah forbid. So remember, that is unacceptable. Worshipping is only, solely, exclusively for the one and only Supreme Being. Whether you call Him Allah, Jalla wa Ala in Arabic, God, capital G, Khuda in Urdu, Kulun Kulu in Zulu, or whatever else you want to call, remember He's one and alone and unique. He does not have any partners, associates. He does not have any sons and daughters and children, no parents. So He alone must be worshipped. But this human being, one side we are the masterpiece of Allah's creation, created on a Friday, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, our spiritual father. But what happened? 6 days Allah created the entire universe and the masterpiece on that Friday. So from Saturday to Thursday, the universe, and Friday, this masterpiece human being. So they are prophets and messengers. They are ma'asum, protected by divine protection. But me and you, majority, 90% of us, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. Kafura is mubalagha, is hyperbole, is an intensive form. But this human being, he was, he is very, very ungrateful, very, very unthankful. This ingratitude, unthankfulness, it prompts us and becomes, you must remember, the catalyst, and remember to commit the vices and sins and break and trample the laws of Almighty Allah. Therefore, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith in Tirmidhi, addressed Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and said, ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. Stay away from the haram places, haram actions, haram speech, everything, food, drink, whatever is haram, unlawful, non-permissible, stay away. Takun a'badan nas. You will become the greatest worshipper of Allah. To do actions is easy. To abstain and refrain, that is difficult. But that is the real criteria. That is the real taqwa and piety. So that's number one. When you go to the Ahlul Allah, the Khasane Khuda, to the special friends of Almighty Allah, the Awliyaullah. So what do they say? Mallam ya'sillaha fi yawmin fawa yawmu eedin lahu. Whoever does not commit a sin during that day. So that is what we should do. From now till Jumu'ah, don't let me commit any sins. Then after Jumu'ah to sunset, don't commit any sins. So we put targets that, Ya Allah, today I will guard my eyes, my ears, my tongue, my thoughts, my income, everything. It must not be contaminated, polluted, diluted. And what will happen? That day becomes a day of Eid for us, a day of happiness and joy. May Allah is pleased with me because I did not trample and violate any law of Almighty Allah. That is what Islam is all about. But me and you, you. Friday, we become super Muslims. And then the weekend comes, all hell breaks loose. So you must remember that. Then the wine, the dine, the swine, and the parties, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the cricket, the soccer, and the shaitani activities, everything at its peak. Then we still think and say we are good Muslims. So think about it seriously on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. What should we read today? We should be reading Surah Yasin. Man qara'a Yasin fi sadri nahar qudiyat hawa'ijuhu. Read Surah Yasin now in the early part of the morning. Chapter 36, 83 verses. Allah Jalla wala will fulfill your needs for the day. The hadith in Darmi. Read Surah Kahf. O Muslim, man qara'a surat al-kahf yawm al-jumu'ah adha'a lahu min al-nur ma bayn al-jumu'atayn. Authentic hadith in Sunan Nasai. Read Surah Kahf and Almighty Allah will bless you with nur, radiance and effulgence from one Friday till the next Friday. Read Surah Hamim al-Dukhan, chapter 44, 59 verses in the 25th juz, 25th part of the Noble Quran. من قرأ حاميم الدخان ليلة الجمعة أو يومها أو ليلتها بنى الله له بها بيتا في الجنة. You read Surah Hamim Dukhan, the night of Friday, that is Thursday night or Friday during the day, Allah Jalla Wala will bless you with a palace in Jannah, the hadith in Tabarani. من قرأ سورة آل عمران يوم الجمعة. Whosoever read Surah chapter 3, Surah آل عمران, Imran, Yawm al-Jumu'ah, Sallallahu alayhi wa malaika hatta taghib. Then when you read Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, the entire surah, Allah's special mercy descends on that person. Then the malaika, the angels make dua for you, Allah must forgive us, hatta taghib, shams till sunset, the hadith in Tabarani. Read abundant durood sharif, salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akthiru min as-salati alayya yawm al-jumu'ah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So read, send salutations, blessings upon the most beloved, the most precious, to Almighty Allah Jalla wala in the entire universe, the best gift for the best of Allah's creation on the best day of the week. And the commandment is mentioned, read abundantly upon me, salawat, Durood Sharif, salutations on a Friday, authentic hadith in Ibn Majah, and inshallah, we know today is Jumu'ah, so 5 past 11 South African time, we will link up with Makkah Mukarramah. Sheikh Bandar Balila will render the khutbah and salat. Thereafter, we will translate it, inshallah, al-Aziz, make a dua for ourselves and the Ummah, and I myself will be going for Jumu'ah, inshallah, here to the Jami Masjid in Lanesia. So at least let us make dua and supplicate to Almighty Allah for ourselves and for our beloved country, the whole world, and all those who have passed away with Iman and Islam, those who are ill and sick, and those Mujahideen, remember, who are dicing with death every day, and those who are the Usara and the Yatama, the orphans of the world, the refugees of the world. So many people don't know where they will get their next square meal from. So that's why, oh human being, don't be ungrateful to Allah. Be grateful for the ever-recurring showering bounties of Almighty Allah upon us. May Almighty Allah guide us all to the truth. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Listener says, yo, Ustaz, that I am a middle-aged married woman. I had a dream wherein I married our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He passed away and I cried, but softly. Ustaz,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For dreams, normally we tell people you must remember that you should contact other ulama, other people. But nevertheless, marriage is a happy occasion. So inshallah, you continue with your righteous deeds. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be pleased with you. So that should be our aim. Almighty Allah Jalla wala states, Wallahu wa Rasuluhu ahakku ayyurduh in kanu mu'mineen. Your aim must be, if you have true iman, to please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, our creator, only creator, and the only one we worship, then he's the only Khaliq, only creator. And remember the Prophet Muhammad Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was, who is, who will always be the only Rahmatan Lil Alameen, the mercy to the entire creation, and the last and final messenger. People get upset, don't worry about that. But we must please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, please Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the good deeds you are doing, brother, sister, in this case is a sister, so you continue doing that, and inshallah Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will intercede for us. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Shafa'ati li ahalil kabair min ummati. My intercession is for those people of my ummah, my international followers, who perpetrated and committed major crimes. So read now with me, O esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Read, Allahumma arzuqna, O beloved Allah, grant us shafa'atan nabiyyil mustafa, shafa'atan nabiyyil mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yawm al-qiyamah. O beloved Allah, grant us the intercession of our master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of justice, on the day of judgment. So that is what we beg Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla.
I see we've got a new listener. He says that, sir, I wanted to bring this to your notice. Mr. F.W. de Klerk, the last president of apartheid South Africa and a key actor in the country's transition to democracy, has died at the age of 85. He died for our beautiful country. Ustad, Mr. Vincent.
Mr. Vincent, you must remember that if you study Mr. de Klerk, you study all these politicians of the white minority regime, the Nationalist Party, the Apartheid Party. So he himself admits, if you read his life, that he says, when I was young, then I was 100% for apartheid. And my brother, you are a white person, I think, so you don't know really the impact of, remember what apartheid is. We know what we went through when they came to our shop, when we came to our house and told us, "Hey, kuli, khanna di kuli dorp tu," and they had a gun in their hand. So you had no choice in that. So for the Indians, they threw us out to our Indian township. To the coloureds, they threw us out to the coloured township. And the African, the black, they threw us out to the black township. If you know, my brother, I think you're from Durban, but anyway, where we are, you go now, Johannesburg Metropolitan, Cosmopolitan for the whites, then this area where we are, Lanesia for the Indians, and then for the Collins, El Dorado Park, and then Soweto for the Africans, and you know Blanca and Nee Blanca. This all is still vivid in my memory, my brother. Whites and non-whites. On the parks it was written, no dogs and no non-whites allowed. You know all that, Mr. Vincent? So all that pain, we can't just throw away. Remember that. He says, by his own admission, in the 80s, he underwent a conversion and he knew apartheid is wrong. But till the end, he, F.W. de Klerk, never admitted that apartheid was a crime against humanity. And that was the huge blunder he made. You must remember that. It makes a person greater when you admit you're wrong in public. And remember, it was a crime against humanity. Ask us, those of us who were born in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. So you must remember that we had to endure that apartheid, whether you went to the post office, whether you went to the bank, whether you went to a place, they would tell you no coolies allowed here. See, I tell you. It is my formative years. I'm in primary school in the 60s. Mr. Vincent, now we're excited. The school is going now for excursion. We went to Pretoria. I don't know how well you know South African history. So they took us there, you must remember, to the Voortrekker Monument and so forth in Pretoria. We arrived there with the bus, school bus, we all children with our teachers. When we went there, the Bura were there, the whites were there. They say, what you all want here? We say, no, we the school. They say, hey, no coolies allowed. Yeah, you got one day or something. So how you feel? These are incidents I can't forget. You must remember that. When I saw the tears, I was a small boy. For me to get my new house and my new bedroom and a new shop, for me it was very exciting. But we were naive. We were children. We never understood the pain of apartheid. So my brother, you must remember, that's the biggest blue they made. You must remember. So the legacy of, you must remember, the Nationalist Party, the Clerk and all that. After that, he then announced that the ANC will be unbanned and all that. For that, we give him credit and all that. That is right. But we must not forget the crimes he committed, and the crimes were against humanity. Yeah. So that is the big thing. Today, if Israel, they wouldn't do it, but I'm saying, they say today everybody is treated equally. All the Jutlas and Jews must pack up and move from all the places they are occupying. So we will say it's a good move that you are doing, but we won't forget your 70 plus years of occupation and terrorism that you did and committed against the Palestinians. Yeah. So understand the pain, the anxiety and all that, my brothers. So Vincent, when you study life, you have to study it holistically and not selectively. It's a beautiful country. Remember that. This is how I sum it up. I'm no political analyst. We just are novice in this. But because people ask us, so therefore I have to do a lot of reading on all these issues. So my brothers, my brother Vincent and others, I sum it up like this. The legacy of the Nationalist Party is apartheid, and the legacy of the Democratics, now the new dispensation, is corruption, crime and crookedness. You can't believe. So both have a horrible, terrible, stinking legacy.
Subhanallah. Vincent says, Ustad, he is white and he's from the Dolphin Coast. And he says it's a very big difference, sir, compared to FW and compared to now. Ustad, Vincent.
I just told you, my brother, both of them, their legacy stinks. You must remember that. One is apartheid, one is corruption and crime and cronyism and everything.
According to the Shafi Madhab, Ustad, a listener says, human can travel for Hajj without a mahram as long as there are three human traveling together. Is this ruling applicable to all journeys or just for Hajj, Ustad?
Remember, the question itself needs to be paraphrased and so forth, and it needs to be rephrased. That question is this: can a woman travel for Hajj or Umrah without a mahram, without a husband? So if a lady goes with a husband, it's fine. She can go with the mahram. She must go with the mahram. Mahram means that male cannot marry that female anytime during his life, because he's the father, because he's the son, because he's the brother, paternal uncle, maternal uncle. So in that, these are examples I'm giving, right? So now is Umrah season, the minor pilgrimage. So all schools, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, Hanafi's, say it's not permissible for any lady to go that in a group or whatever alone for Umrah is haram and not permissible. So that's number one. Number two, it's haram for lady to go for Nafil Hajj, voluntary Hajj. Remember, without a mahram, without a husband, you perform Hajj already. Now your name came out, you must remember, in 2022. So you say, I'm going for Hajj, and it's a voluntary Hajj and so forth. But you don't have your husband, you don't have a mahram, haram. It is totally all four schools, there's consensus. The only place where there is difference of opinion is this. The Hajj is first and compulsory upon that lady. It is the first pilgrimage. She's going to Makkah Mukarramah and so forth. And remember, she has the means. She has the 50, 100,000. She made the intention. But she's not married, or she's married, but the husband is incapacitated, is very old, very sickly. She doesn't have a mahram. No one is available and so forth and so on. Then only. So we need to understand all the conditions attached. attached to it. Then only remember, do the Shafi'is and the Malikis say it is permissible for the lady to go for Hajj without a husband, without a mahram, ma'a jama'atin nisa' istiqat, with women who are reliable and so forth, like you mentioned, three women and so. So it's only exclusively for Fard Hajj, not for Nafil Hajj, not for Nafil pilgrimage, voluntary pilgrimage, Umrah, minor pilgrimage, any other journey, totally, absolutely haram. According to the Hanafis and Hanbalis, even Fard Hajj is haram. So you must remember that. So they must write a wasiya, they must bequeath and write in their will, this is the money, and ABC person, XYZ person must perform my Hajj and pilgrimage, Hajj Badal, Hajj Anil Ghair. So that is the Hanbali and Hanafi verdict regarding that issue there. So people today, they twist the Shafi'i mazhab. Any crooked thing they do, they say, no, Imam Shafi'i had swakha say. So Imam Shafi'i had ni swakha say. Your sheikh, your sheikh, what is the upside down sheikh had swakha say. So you must remember, the crooked sheikh said like that, that crooked one there. I don't say all sheikh, but some of them. So you must remember, they turn it and twist it to suit their desires. There's no such thing, every journey you can just gallivant and that. Totally haram. It is not permissible.
Brother Damon, a new listener as well, he says, I like you guys' show. Keep on doing good work. But sir, I am a non-Muslim. I really love Islam because of its justice. And in our religion, when my dad dies, I take half of his wealth and my sister the other half. But I believe in Islam that the man gets more. Could you please explain why? And how do I calculate the extra? Damon, Ustad.
Thank you, my brother Damon. And this show, this program is for you, my brother Damon, for you, Vincent, and for you, the non-Muslims. We're going to give you preference. Remember that. I want you to interact with us. I want you to remove all the misunderstanding, misconception. Now let us juxtapose. Let us now draw a comparison what Islam says and what the Western world says. My father passed away. My mother passed away. Allah Jalla Wala grant all of them, the marhumin who passed away with Iman, Islam, Jannat al-Firdaus. So my brother, this will be what we say according to Islam, okay? So when a Muslim person passes away from the estate of the deceased, the first thing is burial, funeral expenses. But I'm the son, or my sister, the daughter wants to pay, so that's fine. Number two, we pay all the debts of the deceased. Personal debts, corporate debts, business debts, all that must be expedited and paid to the creditors. Justice delayed is justice denied. Third one is wasiya. My neighbor is Vincent, my neighbor is Damon, my mama is Mary, is Susie, whoever. So Islam gives me the permission that in my will I have a clause. That is, I bequeath. I bequeath for anybody, Muslim or non-Muslim. I bequeath for organizations, and that will be maximum one third of the net estate after the funeral expenses, after the deaths of the deceased. So I say 5,000 here, 10,000 here, 20,000 there. So that must be implemented in sequence. Then we come to the shares of the heirs. Now we are there at this point, my brother, right? So I have a daughter, I have a son. My daughter, from the time of she is born, and before that, the medical expenses as well. So the day she is born, from that day till she gets married, all her expenses I have to pay. So when she gets married at 20, 22, 25, whatever. Thereafter, the husband must pay for her. All her expenses, her boarding, lodging, medication, clothing, education, whatever it is, right? So the woman from the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb, remember, she's receiving from her father, from her husband, from her brothers, from her uncle, from her family, and so forth. That is Islam. And the son, my son, I only have to worry about him till the age of 16, 17. After that, my father sent me when I went overseas. He just did me a favor. And he used use his own personal money. There was no scholarship in bursary, although people offered, my father refused. Alhamdulillah. So we thank Almighty Allah and praise him for that. So he just did me a favor. So I have to stand on my own feet. Then I get married. Thereafter, I have to worry about my wife, my children, and so forth. So it is not a base system as the West and Orientalists say, Islam is being chauvinistic. No, my brother. Islam is looking at the expenses the man has to carry compared to the female. My expenses are double, triple compared to my sister. So therefore, when een mans se dood is ander mans se brood, in Afrikaans we say, so what happens is that I will had a double, so my father passed away, it's one son, one daughter, so after everything as I explained to you, the share 2/3 will come to me, 1/3 will come to my sister, based on that system of justice and not what you are thinking, it is based on favoritism or chauvinism, so that is the answer, my brother.
The brahmin says, you see, sir, I like nice things, but nice things don't like me. Owing a Porsche just brings temporary happiness for the moment. And after a year, it's of no interest. So similarly, with a wife, good in the beginning, but when they get old, we're looking for newer models. But sir, Islam never seems to get old. Why is this so? Polus, Ustad. P-O-L-U-S, Ustad.
Polus, the wife, remember, the older she gets, the better she gets, my brother. Because now she's looking after your children. She's looking after your wealth. And she brings you so much solace. You go to your wife and just embrace her. And you will see how the body heat goes through, my brother. But the problem with the Western world is they tell you one wife and 10 girlfriends, 100 girlfriends. Ask Clinton how many girlfriends he had, Bill Clinton. He was busy everywhere, you know, right inside the White House also. So anyway, so we say no, when both parties are sincere, you won't get tired of them. Therefore, we read the dua, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. That's true, my brother Paulus. Anything of this world, in the starting, it's a novel. And then you get fed up, you get tired. My car is waiting for me, the red Porsche, now outside. I will go with them. It's not my car, it's my friend Muhammad Khan, his son. Every day they come with the red Porsche to pick me up here. So my brother, that's a novelty in the starting, but after that you just accept it as something. So therefore, who must we really love? Love Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, you will always be a winner. Love the Prophet of Islam, all times, all places, you'll be the true one, successful. Love Islam, and then we will find that solace, peace. Because this modern human being, what has happened? They only worry about the physical body. Islam says we give you spiritual food, and the spiritual food is Zikrullah. Quran Kareem states, remember that Almighty Allah teaches us, Allah bi Zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. When you remember Almighty Allah, the hearts will find peace, contentment, and satisfaction. Try it, my brother, and then you will see. 11:05, we will see you again, South African time, for the sermon and salat and namaz from Salat from Makkah, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh. Salaamu alaikum.